So now it's our reading, and today's reading is from Matthew chapter 13, starting to read at verse 31, and that's on page 979 in the Church Bibles. So Matthew chapter 13, the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast. Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour until it worked all through the dough.
Let's pray. Father, thank you for this parable. Thank you that the mustard seed reminds us of how you work. I just pray, Lord, that you will inspire us, that you will guide us, that you will fill us, and Lord, that we might put all our faith, even if it's quite small, in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Richard was going to preach this morning, and he wasn't able to because he's not feeling well. So last minute, I received Richard's sermon. So I received this sort of half eight. So you can imagine I'm not super prepared for this. So I'm going to read out his sermon, and it's probably not going to be as much eye contact as usual because I'm going to be looking down. So please do try and follow on. And as you know, I don't usually read my sermons because I'm not that good at reading. So if it doesn't come across that well, sorry. But actually, what he's written is very interesting. And whenever it says I, it's Richard, and you'll obviously notice because he's speaking as a rector, so it's not I suddenly saying this is my vision, it's actually Richard. So I hope you can bear with me and follow through. So we probably all have particular interests and favorite sayings. These tend to reveal who we are. Jesus did. Reading the Gospels, we find that he spoke about the kingdom of God, or heaven, more than anything else. He used it 157 times during the Gospels. So, what is the kingdom of God? In one sentence, the kingdom of God is wherever Jesus is king and reigns. If Jesus is in heaven, then the kingdom of God is in heaven. If Jesus is king on the earth, then the kingdom of God is here on this earth. If Jesus is king in your heart, then the kingdom of God is within you. Jesus said all these things. The kingdom of God is in heaven, on earth, and in our hearts. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is God's people fulfilling God's purposes on earth in his ways, time, and strength for his glory. This is summed up in our long-standing mission statement as a church to be, and I hope you all remember this, to be a transforming community for Christ, knowing him and making him known. That's our mission statement, transforming communities for Christ, knowing him and making him known. To help people to understand and live fully in his kingdom, Jesus often spoke in parables. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Today we read about the parable of the mustard seed. Mustard was very important in ancient times. Each year it produced a crop that was extensively cultivated for oil for cooking, and leaves to use as medication. The seeds of mustard plant is tiny, about 1 millimeter in diameter. From this tiny beginning, a mustard plant grows to a height of 6 to 12 feet within a year. It would become sturdy enough for birds to perch in its branches. So why did Jesus tell this parable? To answer the doubts of many, that through his ministry, Jesus was bringing in the kingdom of God. Jesus was an uneducated carpenter from a lowly small town. How could he and his steadily increasingly band of followers usher in the rule and reign of the kingdom of God? Many people expected the kingdom to be massively powerful because it had to overthrow the occupying Romans. But the Jesus revolution was nothing like they expected. It was tiny. In the parable, Jesus acknowledges this. But in comparing his ministry to a tiny mustard seed, he intentionally explains that it will grow remarkably and very quickly into a tall and healthy tree. Jesus' reference to his ministry being a tree is significant. In Israel at the time, trees were scarce, so they merited attention. That what's more, trees have symbolic significance in the Bible. The salvation story begins and ends with reference to trees. The tree of life and knowledge, sandwiched between the two in the tree, the cross of salvation upon which Jesus died in our place before rising to life, so that we can receive forgiveness and new life in Christ. In the Bible, trees represent majesty, blessing, abundant life, healing, and protection. And in other places, trees represent judgment and curse. As observant Jews, Jesus' listeners knew the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, there are several passages where powerful earthly kingdoms are symbolically described as trees with birds in the branches. Find this in Ezekiel and in Daniel. Jesus' listeners also understood the significance of a tree. Jesus knew this, and this is why he used it as a powerful teaching illustration. This links with the prophetic picture that God gave me, Richard, before I was installed as your rector, a picture for us as a church to become oaks of righteousness, which Richard has mentioned quite a few times, especially in the APCMs, as this is what we are called to be. So in this parable, Jesus is intentionally teaching that through him, the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God, will heal people, make them flourish, provide shelter and sustenance to all people of the world. It is the greatest kingdom because it's God's kingdom. Secondly, by inference, Jesus is teaching that personal faith is intended to grow and flourish over time and to be a blessing to others. And then collectively, the church is to be the kingdom of God on earth and also to be the conduit through which, through the Holy Spirit, his kingdom grows. Today, building on the heritage of faith, our predecessors in Ashdod, we are all engaged in building the kingdom of God here. With Christ as a cornerstone, we are all vital participants of growing in and sharing the transforming love of Jesus Christ. We are the bricks of the kingdom that God is building in and through this church. And the mortar that connects us is our love for God and neighbor. Jesus taught that this is the greatest commandment. And as the Great Commission teaches, we are also to grow and serve as disciples. As we do, as we abide in God and fulfill his purposes, the kingdom of God grows. This is our purpose as a church, as we serve our community and the wider community. So today, I want to briefly share the strategy that God has given us to fulfill his calling. It is called Pathways and is modeled on the ministry strategy of Jesus. To build the kingdom of God, Jesus obeyed the Father's instruction through the Holy Spirit. He went out to teach and build the kingdom of God. He went out and met with people at the point of need. Lovingly, he revealed the kingdom of God to them and invited them to respond by following him one step at a time. So as a church, we are seeking to reach out in love to connect with our community in relevant ways and to provide a pathways for them to take further steps towards faith in Jesus and the onwards discipleship with the church. This explains the type and range of ministry that we offer for all ages, seasons, and stages in life. Pastoral care in all its forms, hospitality, parenting, food bank, refugee resettlement, discipleship programs. I believe, and again, I, Richard Jones, believe I have a dream. I'm going to go that way now. I can actually really change all of this and change the whole pathway. This is me being Nico a bit, sorry. So I believe that the local church is the hope of the world, and there is nothing like the local church when it is focused on Jesus and serving him and others. Recognizing we are not social services and recognizing our boundaries and resources, we are seeking to love God and love our neighbor as the Holy Spirit invites by acting justly, loving mercy, and walking humbly together with God, and all the while to be maturing as disciples. We've been following this strategy incrementally for the last 3 years, addressed our premises, processes, and procedures, people, corporate governance, and ministry. Now it's time to look to make our ministry strategy to mature as disciples and connect missionally with our community clear to all, and for it to be the framework for our shared ministry. As part of this, we are reviewing our services of worship. The last review of services was in the early 1980s, but world and society are changing, but the gospel and mission of Christ doesn't. The ordination vow to chief shepherd and to proclaim afresh the gospel for such time as this, and this is why we are in the process of reviewing our services. So I announced this at the 2016 APCM with the PCC, senior staff, LLMs, CMT, worship leaders, volunteer helpers, and many others. The discernment process began 21 months ago and will conclude at the end of March. As an Anglican church that honors our range of expressions, we are looking to discern how God is inviting us to mature as disciples and connect missionally with our community in a way that is relevant, engaging, and sustainable now and in the future. Discerning and leading change is challenging, particularly in our large and complex context where we have considered our services since the early 1980s. Recognizing that change is unsettling and challenging, but also healthy and natural. I recognize my, Richard's, responsibility before God and to you as shepherd to discern together God's way forward, to lead. Journey is as important as arrival, opportunity to grow and deepen as we do. So Richard really appreciates the feedback received and being able to work in the process. But arising from the feedback from this discernment process has come the need for clarity of understanding of our purpose and strategy. This is why I have decided to speak to every congregation this month, and I will say more at the APCM on April the 25th. So we've completed stage one in our service review, which in September we changed our evening services, which you've all heard about, and we started a messy church. And now we are concluding stage two, which is looking at the morning services, which will conclude in March. And PCC and staff agree that time's not yet right for far-reaching changes, but we need to make a series of intentional developments across services. So I'll share this again. So time's not best to do big changes in our services in the morning, but it's a good time to develop what we've got and include a new midweek lunch service called Espresso. So the PCC will be working on this, but basically this is the heart of service review in the morning. We're not looking to do major changes in time and venue. But finally, from the discernment process has come the image of a four interlocking and interdependent elements with Christ at the center, with a pathway leading to him. This summarizes our strategy as the Anglican Church in Ashted. I will share this and more at the APCM, but I want to share what the four elements are. And this bit, I can go off script a bit because we've been working for it for a while. So this is what we want to be our strategy for the next few years. And and I'll share a bit more about it. So these are four words that we feel show what we are as church and as disciples. So we want people to connect with church, so people who aren't part of or regular members to be able to connect. So part of our ministry is to find ways in which we can connect with our community and with the people around us. And then the second is once we are connected, or in a way connected, we want people to gather in worship services, to come together to worship God, to not only be connected sort of in the outskirts, but actually to gather and feel part of the church and to worship together. Then once people are gathering, we want them to grow as disciples of Christ, and therefore we want them to join small groups like house groups or other small groups where they can grow, or come to courses where they can grow in their faith. And then once you are connected, gathered, worshiping, growing, we want everyone to be able to have an opportunity to serve others in whatever way we can. So sometimes that's in services, sometimes that's outside, sometimes it's a church thing, sometimes it's a charity, but we want people to be able to grow in this. So actually, if you see it, it's all a continuum. We thought it's much better to say connecting than connect, because you don't connect once, you're continuously connecting. And as you connect with church, you gather and worship God and get to know him. And once you get to know him, you start growing, and then you start serving. But we don't want it to be an end result. Okay, I've got to serving, that's it, I've done my bit. But actually, you serve the community so that others connect and others can gather. And hopefully, we're always trying to grow. We're always trying to serve. It's not sort of a done deal. It's not like, oh, I did the St. Melitus course, now I've grown, that's it, I'm not growing anymore. But we want to continuously be growing, and that when people arrive in our church, we hope that they can easily understand the strategy and say, okay, I've connected, what's next? I'm worshiping, I know a bit about Jesus, what's next? Well, the next thing is to grow, is to go a bit further. And for all of us to know that there's always more we can learn and do for God. So that's, we'll be talking about this a lot. So this is just an introduction, but you'll hear connecting, gathering, growing, serving quite a bit in the next few months and hopefully years. And we're hoping that everything in church will be a part of this strategy. So every ministry is part of either connecting or gathering or growing or serving. And I do hope that this is intentionally a pathway in which we're all drawing closer to Jesus, getting to know him better and being like him a bit better. So that's the strategy bit, and I'm going back to my notes. I'm sorry, I've never read a sermon till just once. I've read a sermon once before in my life, and the other time was also a sermon someone else had written, and that was today in the 9:15. So... So it's my second time reading a sermon someone else wrote. So it's a bit strange, but I do hope we are getting that this is our strategy, and we all encourage with the parable of the mustard seed. It's small and grows, and that sort of each and every one of us can, hopefully following this strategy, grow as well. And if we feel we're quite small in our faith, well, look at the mustard seed, there's so much we can do. And if we feel that one area of our church's ministry is quite small, well, in Jesus it can grow a lot. Any area of ministry can grow in Jesus. And that's why you have the cross in the middle and the pathway that takes us to Jesus. So that's why we have the parable of the mustard seed. I do hope as we look at that circle, we can all think, well, where can I go a bit further? What can I do? Do I need to connect better with the people around me? Do I need to gather more with other Christians to worship? Do I need to grow in my knowledge of the Bible, discipleship, ministry, or do I need to be serving more? So hopefully this circle will challenge us every time we see it and think, well, this is something I need to develop. I need to grow in my relationship with Jesus. I need to go that way. So in conclusion, thank you for helping to build the kingdom of God. Thank you for understanding me doing the sermon today, participation in ministry and support, I hope that following this morning, you have a clearer understanding of our purpose and strategy as a church as we journey onwards together as disciples. And I ask of you, this is Richard speaking, for your continual understanding of our processes. I invite you to continue to pray for us as a church, to share any thoughts you have with Richard, with any member of staff, with the PCC members. And we'll have a special prayer morning on Saturday, the 2nd of March at 10 a.m. to pray for the church, for our vision, for our strategy, for our moving forward. And as I wrote to everyone in my pastoral letter in December, we will reach a conclusion at the end of March and then communicate pastorally and clearly. Thank you. May the Lord continue to lead, deepen, and release us all more fully in his love and in his as his kingdom grows in Ashted and beyond. Shall we pray? Father, thank you for this long process we are in where we can just focus on how we can reach out to our community better. How can we serve our community better? How can we love those people who feel unloved better? How can we just show how amazing you are to a community of people who probably don't know you yet? Thank you, Father, for the journey. Thank you for everything that's happened in between. Thank you for the learning curves. But thank you, God, also for this strategy, which helps us have a clearer way into getting to know you better, a clearer pathway into getting to know how great you are. I just pray, Lord, personally, that you would just challenge us in an area of our life this morning. Lord, where do we need to grow? Which area needs to grow in our lives? Do we need to focus more on those who are in need? Do we need to focus more on our relationship with you? Do we need to focus more on loving and serving others in church? Do we need to connect better with the people around us? Show us, Lord, what it is you want to grow in us. And even if we have that little mustard seed in an area, you can make it grow, you can make it flourish, you can make all the difference. And we trust in you, we trust in your power, and we trust in that you can do what we can't do, and that in the areas where we feel uncomfortable and we feel that we are struggling, you can work what we can't do. Continue your work in us, Lord. Continue to guide us. And we just want to say that we love you and we do all of this for you. We live our lives for you because you're such an amazing God. In Jesus' name.